Amen. Well, you know, Esau was 40 years old when he got married. That means Jacob was 40 years old when Esau got married too. Well, give or take a few minutes, because they are twins, you know. Esau is the elder. He's the older one. He got married, and he married a couple of girls that weren't Christians. And verse 35 of chapter 26 says, they were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Didn't seem to bother Esau, but it really bothered the parents who knew the Lord and knew how important this was to the Lord. Esau doesn't have a heart for God. Now, we go into chapter 27 with that kind of thinking. And it came to pass. This is such a great story. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son. And he said unto him, my son, he said unto him, behold, here I am. Or, yeah, dad. He said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow. Go out to the field and take me some venison and make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Okay, my goodness, here we go. What a great chapter. This chapter really helps us in seeing how easily you and I can get off. It really is an encouragement. Somebody said to me, I like your Bible studies. They make me feel like dirt every time I leave. And I felt bad about that because I thought, you know, this is God's word. This is not a Bible study of mine. This is word. And what's happening is God is literally speaking to your heart and you're going, that area in my life is no good. It wasn't me. I only read it. Threw in a couple of jokes to make you feel worse about yourself and then walked you off. Oh my goodness. God's word gets to the heart, doesn't it? I mean, God's word is sharp. We're told he was sharp as a two-edged sword, and he's able to cut between the soul and the spirit. And there is no one on this planet that can exactly explain to you the difference between soul and spirit. When you die, does your soul go to be with the Lord, or does your spirit go to be with the Lord? Yes. So that takes care of that argument. Let's move on. But God's word can really get in between them, can slice it up. And you start reading through God's word and it actually makes a difference in your life. Isaac now is old. Isaac has been a man of God. He's walked with God since his youth. Oh, he did lie back there and say, she's my sister. But you know, God still loves him and continues to bless him. He's old now. And he figures he doesn't have long to live. I don't know the day of my death, but I'm pretty old and I can't live much longer. I'm running out. My body's falling apart. His eyesight's gone. His eyes have grown dim. He's old and he can't see. Now Esau, as you know, I'm going to remind you of this. Esau was Isaac's favorite. Remember Esau? Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. You remember, each parent had their favorite. And it caused trouble in the family. Well, Isaac still loves Esau. And Isaac says, I'm old, man, I can't even see. I want you to do something for me. Go out, go hunting, bring the food back, make that stuff I really like, bring it in here. I'd like to eat that. You know, who knows when I'm going to die? And then I'll bless you. Even though, listen, even though God said clearly the elder will serve the younger, Isaac is saying, no, I'll bless you. You go get me lunch and I'll bless you, dude. You are my favorite. I am your biggest fan. And so I'll bless you. You go get that. You come back. I'll bless you. Wait a minute. Isaac, you know what God said. You realize what you're saying goes against what God has said. It goes against what God has promised. You are trying to swim upstream. I don't know what's going to happen to you. Yes, I do. But you know, think about it. You know what God says. You shouldn't be giving this son the blessing. It should be the other one. And you know it. No one has to tell you that. But you notice Isaac doesn't care about that. He knows very well. But here's the deal. He wants to bless Esau. I'm sorry, but he's my favorite. The guy's a hunter. He's a man's man. Now, Jacob, on the other hand, cooks a lot. Nothing wrong with cooking. Esau found it very important a while back. Remember when he said, I'm starving. You made some beans. I need them. Nothing wrong with cooking. But you see, Isaac's got this. He's got a warrior. He's got a hunter. He's got a man. And then there's Jacob. He's around the women a lot. Learning how to sew, learning how to cook. He's good in the kitchen. I've never been good in the kitchen. You know, wise men are not good in the kitchen. Aren't they, guys? Think about it. Because usually I'll say to my wife, I'll help you, and she'll get out of the way. Just get out. You're going to break something or hurt somebody or set something on fire. And you walk out going, see? Do a man's thing, like go cut the grass. Although I've been told that's an Idaho woman's work. I'm not sure now. So. Oh, you guys didn't know that? Whoa, some of these men up here. See, I've only been in Idaho a short time. Are they fooling me? Don't tell my wife. Isaac allows his physical desires and his emotional desires to rule in this particular instance. Did you hear that? He allows his physical desires. I'm hungry. I'm old. And I don't know how long I'm going to live, but boy, I like that. You go hunt and get some venison and bring that back. I like that. Do that for me. And I'll bless you. I'll give you that blessing. He makes a decision to ignore the Lord, to ignore what God has said, to ignore God's will. And he lets his physical desires, his emotional desires rule his heart instead of letting God rule. He's letting his desires and his wants and his emotions run things. Praise God, you and I don't ever do that. We can learn from Isaac here what not to do, because Paul tells us these things were written as examples for us so we know how to do things right and how not to do things. Isaac is showing us here, this is how not to do it. Don't let your desires or your emotions overpower or overrule what God has to say. Now, all of you that have done that, aren't you sorry? Yeah, we are, aren't we? Who have let our desires or our emotions, let those rule in our hearts as opposed to God's word? It's a difficult lesson for all of us. But you know, let's not put it all. Let's be nice. Since I don't want you walking out of here feeling beat up. Let's be nice. Let's not put it all on Isaac. Let's put some of it on Beanhead Esau. A little bean soup thing back there. Joke. Okay. Esau knows full well that he sold the blessing. He sold his birthright. Doesn't he know that? It wasn't that long ago when he was starving and he wanted that bowl of beans. What good is a birthright? What good is that if you're going to die? Yeah, I'll sell it to you for a bowl of beans, red beans. Esau knows full well when his dad says, I'll bless you. You know, Esau says, no, Dad, I got to be honest with you. I sold my birthright. The blessing doesn't really belong to me. I wasn't interested. I was hungry. I let my desires and my emotions run away with me also. And so we can't do this. I mean, I'll go get you dinner. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can't give me the blessing. It really belongs to Jacob. Esau didn't say that, did he? I'm gone. I'll be right back. I'll hurry. He should have been honest and said, Dad, I can't. Instead of being honest, he does just what Esau does, what you expected Esau to do. I'm going hunting. You know, nothing really matters if you get to go hunting. It really doesn't. You go hunt, well, whatever. Whatever happens at church, whatever happens, that's cool. Hunting is not a sin. Watch Esau. He'll just go. But you notice, nothing really matters. He's hunting. The truth really isn't that important. I'm going out hunting. Going to go, oh, this will be great, man. Wife says, aren't you going to get something done around the house? No, my dad wants me to go hunting. Nothing really matters. Like the truth or God's word or God's will. Those things don't even seem to come into play here, do they? Wait, the story, oh, it doesn't stop. Verse 5 says, "And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son." Remember, he's got his favorite, I got mine. She spoke to her son, Jacob, and she said, "Behold, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying this, 'Bring me venison, make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless you before he dies.'" It wasn't that she was necessarily eavesdropping. Okay, their tents are close together. They're married, all right? So it's, you know, she heard this whole thing. "I'm old. I can't see. You're my son. I'm going to go get food, and I'll bless you." She goes, "Oh, we can't have that. Jacob, well, come here." Because Jacob was always close. He's probably in the kitchen. Your brother's going out. Your dad, I heard him. I heard your dad say this. He's going to send him out, going to bring food, going to be breaking. He's going to eat, and he's going to bless him. We can't have that. You go get me 2 kids, 2 goats. Bring them here. I'll fix it up, and we'll send you in there." Off goes Esau. And he's going to go hunting. He likes that. It's not a problem. This is not like a chore. Rebecca overhears Isaac. She says, "No, well, we got a problem here." Rebecca calls Jacob over, tells him what's going on. Now, Rebecca, hear this. Rebecca knows what God has said. God has said, "The elder will serve the younger." Didn't God say that? Before they were born in the womb, when she went to the Lord and said, "What is going on in here?" And the Lord said, "You have 2 nations. They're fighting one another. And the younger will win. The elder will serve the younger." Rebecca knows that. That's what God said. That's God's word. That's a prophecy. What God says has to come to pass, doesn't it? If it doesn't, God's a liar. So it has to come to pass. It's a prophecy. She's not about to let Esau get away with this. You know, he's been trouble for the family quite a while now. He's got these 2 wives that nobody can really deal with. They brought their false idols in, and this is a mess. He's not going to get away with this. Jacob's her favorite. She wants him, listen closely, mothers. Well, dads too. She wants him to have what God promised him. Did you hear that? God said the elder will serve the younger. Now the elder's going out to get food and coming back for a blessing. And she says, "That ain't it. That's not right. Because God, you promised. So we got to do this. We got to do this. Jacob, here's a plan." "We'll trick the old man. That's what we'll do. I'll make his lunch. I know just how he likes it. God said you were going to have the blessing, and you are going to have the blessing, Jacob. Get busy." I can just see this mother now. "You're getting the blessing." "Yeah, but Mama, just go and get the kids and get it ready. Get busy." "Yes, dear." Do you see this, everyone? Rebecca uses trickery and deceit. She's going to trick the guy. She's going to lie to him. Whatever it's going to take to get my son the blessing. God promised him the blessing. Now, let me ask you this. Did God promise Jacob the blessing? Did he? He did, didn't he? So God promised him the blessing. I'm going to make sure he gets it. Yeah. Can't be wrong to make sure God's word come to pass. Can it? Yes. Sure can. Watch this. Instead of praying and asking the Lord for direction. Instead of saying this, "Lord, you promised when I cried out to you that day, so many years ago, you promised me that the elder would serve the younger. Now, Lord, you know what just went on between Isaac and Esau. You know what went on, Lord. I trust you, and I'm crying out to you. You've got to keep your promise. I claim your promise, and I'm looking to you for that promise, Lord. Handle this one. No. She doesn't cry out to God. What does she do? She hatches a plan. It's a pretty good plan, too. We're going to make sure God's word comes to pass. You know who did that? Sarah. Do you remember back when Sarah was alive? God said, I'm going to bless you with so many children, you can't count them all. You and Sarah, you're going to have them. And what did Sarah say? Well, God said so, but it's not happening. So I have come up with a plan, Abraham. You're going to love this one. What? Take Hagar. No, what do you mean? No, really. I mean, this will fulfill God's word. You guys have children, we'll call them my kids, and then, oh man, we'll be great nation, be blessed. See, God comes out looking good, everybody comes out looking good. Sarah hatched a plan. It was of the flesh, wasn't it? And Ishmael didn't work out so well, did he? Even to this day, there is still trouble. Sarah hatched a plan. That plan included Hagar. Then, of course, Ishmael and trouble. We can't help but see so far in this chapter. Everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. Isaac, Rebekah, and Esau, aren't they? They all three know the promise. They all three know what they're doing is trickery, is deceit. They all three know that they're sort of lying. They know it. So far, nobody's trusting God. No one is looking to God in this situation. No one is listening to God. Now, you know, as well as I do, that's bound to cause some trouble in this family. When you think no one is trusting in God, you expect trouble coming really soon? I would think so, according to God's word. Heartache, trouble, grief, suffering, and everything else that comes with that. It's coming by the end of the chapter. I mean, it's not even going to be that long down the road. Verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am smooth. He means I'm not hairy. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him a deceiver. He'll think I'm tricking him. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Rebecca says, go get some kids. Go two of the baby goats. You bring them in here. I'll fix them up. I know just how he likes them. Then you're going to take them into your dad. He's going to bless you while your brother's gone. And Jacob says, Mom, that's not the way to do this. That's not the way God has it set up. We need to let God do what he's doing. We just need to trust him. He said that the elder would serve the younger. Let's just leave this alone. Let's trust. Let's just see what God will do. Jacob didn't say that, did he? That lying weasel? No, everybody in this family's got a problem. Nobody wants to let God's word or let God do it. Everybody's going to make something happen. Deceit, trickery, jealousy. I'm getting what's mine. You promised it to me. I'm getting it. I hear it on television a lot. We claim that promise, God. You have no choice. You must bless me. And I'm thinking, oh, wait. Why doesn't somebody cry out to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, remember your word. Keep your promise for your own glory. No, Jacob, here's what Jacob says. You got to be kidding. If I do that, he'll think I'm trying to trick him. Well, you are. I mean, what kind of thinking is Jacob going? He's a mess. He fits in. I mean, they're related. Oh, man. Jacob should have said, we don't have to steal and cheat, Mom. We can trust God. Shame on you. You, of all women, ought to know better. Instead, what does Jacob say? I might get caught. I mean, if he catches me, instead of blessing me, he's going to curse me. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Oh, you wimp. You've been hanging out in the kitchen too long. Mother's tough. Go get the stuff. We'll handle it. I'll take care of that. You know, that's what the mother says, basically. Don't you worry. I'll take care. I've got a plot. We're going to make God's word happen. Sarah tried to make God's word happen. It was of the flesh. God didn't accept it. Guess what? Rebecca's going to make God's word, try to make God's word happen. And what's going to happen? God will not accept this. Are you surprised? So the next time you and I try to make God's word happen, guess what? God will not accept it even from me and you. It's of the flesh. It's no good. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The work's been done. You want to do it? Fine. You want to try it your own way? You want to use deceit and trickery? Jealousy and hatred and all these things? God says, I won't accept it. I will have no part of that. He says, basically, how can we do this and not get caught? Dad doesn't see well, but as soon as he touches my arms, he's going to know I'm not Esau. Esau's as hairy as a goat. And he smells like one, too. I added that, but you're going to see later on that I didn't really add it. And the Bible says sort of like that. Verse 13. See, here's a mother. Don't you worry about it. Let me handle the curse stuff. She says, his mother said unto him, verse 13, upon me be thy curse, my son. Obey me. You do what I tell you. Obey my voice and go fetch me them. Now, see, this man is well over 40 years old. He should have stood up and said, that's cheating. We're not going to do it. Instead, he goes, Mom, what if he catches it? Don't you worry about him catching. You do what I tell you. I'll handle the tough stuff. I'll take the curse. Verse 14 says, he went and he fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids, of the goats, upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. She gave the savory meat and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to his father and said, my father, and his father says, here am I. Who are you, my son? Jacob did what his mother said. Rebekah dressed Jacob, the Bible says, in his brother's best clothes. She put skins of baby goats on his hands, his forearms, and on his neck. That Esau was a hairy man. You ever been around goats? Whew! He must have smelled like a barnyard. His aftershave, OD barnyard, you know, it's Esau. Cooked up the food. Jacob now takes it to his unsuspecting dad. Verse 18. Well, in 17, his dad says, who is it? Is it you? In verse 18. He says, who are you, my son? Jacob, verse 19, said unto his father, well, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Liar. I've done according as you badest me, or asked me, arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that your soul may bless me. I did what you asked me to do. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? Man, that was fast. And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. I mean, I was out hunting, he dropped it in my lap. I hardly had to shoot the thing. It said, take me home. Hi, Dad, I'm back. Who are you? Well, I'm your son, Esau. You sent me to get food. I've got it. Here it is. Isaac can't see, so he asks, who is it? It's me, Dad. It's Esau. I brought your lunch. How did you get back so quickly? Wow. I mean, how did that happen? God was with me. Hear that? Now, why did you have to drag God into this lie? You were doing fine lying on your own. Why do you want to go and drag God's name into this for? How did you get back so quick? God was with me. God helped. Oh, man. If God were to speak right out loud at this moment, God would say this, Jacob, you big liar, I had nothing to do with this. God didn't. He remains silent at this moment. Today, look at how many say, listen to this. No. You think about this. Look at how many today say, well, this is what the Lord has led me to do. Completely ignoring His word, completely ignoring the things that they should be a part of, completely doing what is opposed to His will, yet they'll look at you and say, yeah, the Lord's led me to do this. Yeah, I feel called. Oh, yeah. The Lord did this in my life, or the Lord blessed this. How often does it happen that people lie and cheat, use unethical means, defraud in their business deals, yet their business grows? How often does that happen? And then as their Christian businessmen or women, they'll say, look what God has done. God had nothing to do. God has specifically said, I had nothing to do with that deceit. I had nothing to do with that. This is not all about me. I'm not part of this. That's what God is saying to Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah and everybody in the crowd. This is not me. I have nothing to do with this. God says to Abraham and Sarah, I have nothing to do with this. I will not accept this. This is the work of the flesh. I will not accept Ishmael. You will have a son, and you will name him Isaac. That will be of me. I have nothing to do with the works of the flesh. Using trickery and deceit, and then say this, look how the Lord has blessed. Christian, it ought not be. Not from you, not from me. Using lying, using unethical means, ministries. There are ministries that are guilty. We always have to pray about it ourselves that we're not guilty. Ministries guilty of this. They use deceit and lies to build a ministry. We have ministries in this area that literally call people on the phone and say, the church you're going to is no good. Come to ours. We love people. We really take care of people. Some of the people that used to come here that are now trying to do their own thing are calling some of you. And I don't worry about it. I'll tell you why. Go. If you think that's what it's all about. If you think God is going to bless deceit and trickery and bitterness, if you think, according to God's word, it's not going to happen. I'm not even concerned about it. God will not bless that. Not in my life, not in yours, not in anybody's. It's doomed to destruction. Any ministry that begins that way is doomed to die. It's going to be handicapped and then it will die. Using unethical means to attract people to ministry or to church. And then as the ministry grows, they say, look what the Lord is doing. And if God were to speak right out loud, what would He say? You big liar. I have nothing to do with this. I don't have anything to do with trickery and deceit and lies and bitterness and unethical practices. I am the Lord God. So just because a girl is a nice girl, or a guy is a nice guy, that doesn't make them a man or a woman of the Lord. And just because they're Christians doesn't always mean that they're on the level at all times. Isaac is a man of God, but he's decided to let his emotions and his physical desires rule instead of what God's word has to say. They should have all left this alone and let God do in the lives of these young men exactly what He promised He would do. Now you're going to learn as we go through, God will do it. But He's going to have to break Jacob down until Jacob is through trying to get hold or trying to trick. And you're going to see what goes around always comes around, Scripture says. And you're going to see that the same thing is going to happen to Jacob. He's going to be tricked because he tricked others. Isaac, in a few moments, you're going to notice, doesn't trust the person he's talking to. Why would it be that he doesn't trust his own son? Who are you? Well, I'm Esau, your son. Why doesn't Isaac believe him? Because he sounds just like Jacob. And number two, listen closely, because in Isaac's heart, he knows he is being dishonest. And when you're being, and I'm being dishonest, we start to think everybody is, don't we? When we're cheating, we assume everybody's cheating. Oh, you're cheating. Oh, you're a liar. Oh, you're... No. And you watch what Isaac's got to say. Well, we've got a major problem in this family going on. And it is not pleasing to the Lord. this will turn out to be a real problem in just a few minutes, and it will not turn out to be a blessing at all. I know that you're not shocked at that, but we need to say it. It will turn out to be a major problem in just a little bit, and it will not turn out to be a blessing. Jacob is going to have to run for his life in just a short time here. So this isn't going to create what everybody thought it was going to create. You see, the next time you disobey God and decide you're going to take it in this direction or that direction, keep in mind Jacob and his mama and his dad and his brother, they all disobeyed God. They all ignored God or tried to make God's word happen, and it got them all in deep water. Verse 21 says this. And Isaac says to Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel you, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." In other words, I don't believe you. So come here, I want to touch you. And Jacob went near, verse 22 says, unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." You hairy thing, you. This is really confusing me because Isaac can't see. He says, "It's Jacob's voice I'm hearing, but these are Esau's hands." I mean, Jacob's not this hairy. Esau is. And he did not discern because his hands were hairy. Verse 23 says, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" Again, verse 24. "Are you sure?" Jacob answers, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." This is another trick. "Now that I've eaten, come near. I want to give me a kiss." You know, they would kiss their father on the cheek, usually on each side. But it's a trick. He says, "I don't know, something about this doesn't seem right. So I've touched him. He feels hairy, but I need to smell the guy. Because Esau smells." He came near and kissed him, and Jacob smelled the smell of his clothing. And blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." That means there's a lot of manure in it and things are growing. "The smell of my son." Boy, I'd know that kid anywhere. Yep, that's Esau. Isaac is suspicious. "Are you really my son? Hey, listen closely to me. This is a lesson for all of us. You'll see it. Read through it in Proverbs. When you are deceitful, when you are not up and upfront and honest, you are never sure about others either. In a business deal or in a Christian walk or in anything. When you yourself, so Jesus says, here's the way you want to do it. If your eye is single, your whole body is light. What that means is an undivided heart and an attitude that is correct. And you see, Isaac's eye is not single. Isaac's got something up his sleeve. And because he does, he's thinking somebody else does. But the truth is, he's right. Because somebody else does. He comes from a whole family of deceivers, it looks like. If you're cheating and slandering, trying to trick people, you are never going to be sure that the same thing isn't happening to you. Because it does come back around. Jacob's going to see this come back to him in spades. He's going to see this come back to him in a painful, real way that he's really not going to appreciate. Isaac feels Jacob's hands and arms, says, "That is so weird. It's Jacob's voice, but Esau's arms, Esau's hands." After he eats, he says, "Bend down here." Isaac grabs him and smells him. Yep, no mistaking. That's the smell of Esau. Well, verse 28. Therefore, he's going to bless him now. This is what Jacob was after. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses thee and blessed be he that blesses thee. Isaac passes to Jacob the blessing that was passed to him from his father. The blessing that was given to Abraham directly from God. Isaac now passes down to who? The younger. The elder will serve the younger. And Isaac passes it down. Although he wants to be passing it to Esau, he passes it, down to Jacob. Here's something to think about before we move on. God had already, already given the blessing to Jacob before this day. As a matter of fact, before Jacob was born, God said the elder will serve the younger. This is God's plan. Here we have people conniving, tricking, using deceit, using all kinds of things to get what God had promised. It's the wrong way to go about the right thing. There is a wrong way to go about the right thing. You say, I feel called to ministry. There is a wrong way to go about that. You say, I really have the gift of. Well, there is a wrong way to go about using that too. And we need to listen to the Lord and be sure that this is the Lord each time we do the things that we do. Be sure that it's the Lord. If you have to do this, and it hurts your family, or it takes from your family, or it does some damage over here, it may not be God's will, even though you say, but God called me to. You need to pray about this because you've got some responsibilities. Pastors struggle with that because many of them know they've been called into ministry, but they are working full time because they need to take care of their family. Then you see some guys who just say, well, we don't pay our bills. We don't worry about our debts. We don't do this. We don't do that. If the kids don't have shoes, if the kids starve, that's just the way it is. And you say, hold it. You're going about the right thing the wrong way. You're trying to make something happen. If you try to make it happen and it does happen, you're probably in big trouble because, number one, you're going to have to keep it happening. And you're never going to be sure when you use deceit and trickery. You're never going to be sure. Did I actually make this happen? Was it Lord? You will never have that peace because God says, I don't deal with that. I'm not a part of that. I will not do that. So we want to make sure we do it right. God is not accepting all of this deception. This is not according to his word, not according to his will. He will not bless it. We're going to see that clearly in upcoming chapters. Verse 30 says, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was scarce or barely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Jacob just barely made it out. And here comes Esau coming on in. He also had made savory food, meat, brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of your son's venison, that your soul may bless me. I'm back. Eat and bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? He said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. And verse 33 says, Isaac trembled very exceedingly. He began to shake and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before you came and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. Here comes Esau, the great hunter, not expecting nothing, just ready to go. The one who doesn't care about anything spiritual. The one who really doesn't care about this whole blessing thing one way or the other. He comes back. Says, bless me. Here I am. I'm worth it. Go ahead, bless me. I brought your food. Eat it and bless me. Isaac began to tremble. He shook because he realized what had just happened. He had been tricked. He had tried to trick others, knowing God said the elder would serve the younger. Isaac said, no way. I'm going to see to it that it doesn't happen. He had tried to make it happen the other way, and he got tricked. He was out to go against God. and he got himself gone against. What a mess we've got going in chapter 27, verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Bless me. Verse 35, he said, your brother came with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. I've blessed him. I can't bless you. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob, that supplanter, heel catcher? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Do you see how Esau is blaming Jacob for selling him that bowl of beans? He took away my birthright. Behold, he's taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved any blessing for me? Something for me? Can't you bless me? Verse 37, Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and with wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and underlined it again, second time. And he wept. A while ago, he wept bitterly. He wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Twice, Esau cries. Tears run down his face. He weeps. You got to bless me. Don't you have anything? No, I gave it to your brother. But don't you have anything left? Bless me with something. Got nothing for you, man. You'll just live out on the land. You'll do okay. But you'll serve your brother the rest of your life. In Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, talking about faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read you verses 14 through 17. Listen closely to what Hebrews tells us about this incident. Follow peace. This is Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 17. Follow peace with all men. This is what he's telling us we ought to do. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So you make sure you follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, or paying attention, watching, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any sexual sinner, fornicator, or profane person, as Esau was, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, listen closely, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Do you hear that? Paul is warning us, Christians, don't do these things. Don't use the deceit, the trickery. Don't live this way, because God will not honor it. God will not bless it. This will bring you to no good. Esau was sorry. Esau was so unhappy. He wept bitterly. But you notice Hebrews tells us no matter how hard he wept, tears didn't help. Christian, I think you and I have been there, haven't we? In some particular cases, you wish upon wish that you hadn't done what you did, but it was done, and you wept bitterly, and no amount of weeping could fix it. Remember that? He sought that with weeping, but you can't get to it from here. There was no going back. Esau's blessing was irrevocably lost. It was lost to him forever. There was no getting it back. Crying wouldn't get his blessing back. And there was no blessing for him to have now. We need to give that some serious thought, you and I. Yes, it is by grace, through faith, that we are saved. But you know, we're walking an everyday existence here in the Lord. How are we walking? Because even as a Christian, you can sure make lives and your own life miserable and painful, can't you? You can really do some things that you knew were not quite according to God's standards, or you knew were going against His word, but you let your emotions or your physical desires take priority over it. You went ahead anyway, and now there are things that are going on in your life, or there are things that are part of your life that will never change. You can never get back. You can never twist or turn back. They're gone. They're lost. God still loves you. Think before you give up something for your own fleshly desires. Think before you give up something for your own emotional desires. Think, pray, seek the Lord, and by His power then do His will, not your own. Jacob did his own. Rebekah did her own. Esau did his own. Isaac did his own. They are all in pain. This is going to ruin some lives here. Verse 41. Or you may not be surprised at this, but the Bible says, "And Esau hated Jacob." That's a great thing between brothers, isn't it? He hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother." I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. Esau hated his brother and vowed to kill him. Now listen. Verse 41 says, Esau hated Jacob. Your version, I don't know what version you're using, but your Bible should say something like that. He hated Jacob, and he vowed, he made a promise to kill him. Does your Bible say something sort of like that? What we have here is good for me to see. It's good for you to see. We have misplaced anger. You see that? He hates Jacob. Why does he hate Jacob? It was Esau that did this to Esau, wasn't it? Esau, knowing he sold his birthright, still went out and was going to try to pull this off, wasn't he? With no concern about Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, or God Almighty. All right, I'll take the blessing. Sure, I sold it. Okay, yeah, it's dishonest, but so what? Come on, I'm a man. We're just going to do it. Wait a minute. The Esau caused the problems for Esau, not Jacob. Why does he hate Jacob? Misplaced anger is what you've got going on. Yes, Jacob did use trickery. But Esau gave it all away, and he was using trickery himself. He didn't care about spiritual things. He didn't care about them then. He doesn't care about them now. Notice, it would be wrong for him to murder, but he vows to murder. Going against God's word, he doesn't care anything about God. He says, I'm going to kill my brother. I'm just going to do it. He's bitter, and he blames it on someone else. You hear that, everybody? Lesson for me, lesson for you. Maybe you've heard people say this. This is very common in our culture today. That man, that woman, those people, they have destroyed my faith. Have you heard it? I just heard it just recently, yesterday, day before yesterday. That person has destroyed my faith. I may never go to church again. They ruined my walk. They've hurt me, and I will never return. I'll never set foot in a church. I don't want to hire Christians anymore. I don't want to be around them. Stop right there. No one can ruin your walk. No one. Can they? It's completely impossible. Can't be done. Bible clearly says no one can destroy your faith. They can be a stumbling block to you, but they can't destroy your faith. No one can make you sin. Can they? No one. According to Scripture, no one can. Watch this. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. He even tells you, you can't blame God. I hear people say, man of God, listen, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived or hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. It's not God that did this to me. I did this to me. It's not him that did this to me. I did this to me. Esau, it's not Jacob that did this to you. You did this to you. You were drawn away of your own lust. You did this because you wanted to. Now you're angry at someone else. You've got some decisions to make, and these decisions are going to affect your life, spiritually as well as physically and emotionally. And you can't keep running around blaming others. I'm mad at them, and so I will never go to church again. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says, don't get out of church. You say, I'm going to, and it's her fault. I'm going to, and it's that group. They've done this to me. No, you're dead wrong. You've done this to you. Repent. Stop it. Get back in fellowship. I'm going to kill my brother. Why? Because you were going to cheat your brother? Because you were lying? You see, he's mad at his brother. But Esau did this to Esau. Jacob's going to be pretty upset at everybody too. But listen closely. Jacob did that to Jacob. And God simply said, I'm not blessing that. And Jacob was hoping beyond hope. Since it was God's word and he promised it, they forced it to happen. Things are going to be roses and rainbows. They didn't turn out roses and rainbows. We need to be careful. What a great lesson. I can't blame old what's-her-name for ruining my walk. Oh, yeah. People can be stumbling blocks to you. But you don't have to let them. The Bible tells you and I, Christian, don't be stumbling blocks to others. So we pray. We try not to be. I'm sure probably at times we are and didn't even realize we were. But that's not our goal. But if someone walks away, says, I'm walking away from the Lord and it's your fault, you can calmly look at them and say, well, I may be a louse and a weasel, but this I know. You walk away from the Lord, it's your choice. You're doing this to you, no one else. How many people today say, one of the pastors just messed up and left town? And people are saying, that's it. I don't trust any pastors. I'm never going to church. We tell them, number one, that pastor didn't do anything to you. Oh, he may have hurt you, but you didn't have to let that happen to you. You should have stayed in the Word. You should have been in the Word the whole time, just like I should be in the Word, just like all of us should be in the Word. It is nobody's fault that you're having troubles. Take responsibility. Repent where you need to repent. Shore up by the power of the Holy Spirit where you need to be strengthened. Walk on in the power of the Holy Spirit and quit this whining. And, of course, then people say you're unloving and whatever. So, verse 42. These words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Esau's going to kill his brother. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son. See, Rebekah, she's going to take care of the whole thing. Okay, now I got another plan. Can't trust God to protect Jacob. I'm going to have to protect him. Behold, your brother Esau, as touching you, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill you. Your brother's going to kill you. That's his plan. Now, therefore, my son, verse 43, obey my voice, arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him, I like this, a few days, till your brother's fury turns away. He's going to need to cool down. All right, there are no anger management courses on the earth at this time, so he's going to have to cool himself down. You need to go and stay with my brother Laban for a few days, just a short time. Till your brother's anger turns away from you, verse 45, and he forgets that which you've done to him. Mom, I've done to him. You should be saying that which we've done to him. Yeah, notice how she backs out of, oh, Jacob, look what you've done to him. Now he's mad at you, he's going to kill you. I'll send and fetch you from there when the coast is clear. Why should I be deprived also of both of you both in one day? In other words, if Esau kills his brother, then the avenger of blood would have to kill Esau. You know, the thing. Then you know, the death penalty for killing, you know, death. So she said, I'd lose you both in one day. So why should that happen? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Now she's starting to just complain about Esau's wives. She says, if Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Oh boy, is this woman, she's good. I mean, she could get an award for trickery, deceit, lies. She's good, which is bad, but she's good. Rebekah, always looking out for her favorite, hears that Esau's going to kill his brother. She says, Jacob, you're leaving. Mom, I don't want... No, you're leaving. You obey my voice. You're getting out of here. You've got to get out of here, and you've got to get out of here now. Go to my brother Laban and stay for a few days. Just stay for a few days. And then I'll get word to you. After your brother calms down, is cool again, I'll get word to you. The coast is clear. You can come on home. Just going over to my brother's place for a few days. Just a short time. You know that short time, that few days? Do you know, as we're going to read on, I don't want to ruin the story for you, but do you know he's going to go and he's going to be there 20 years? And you know something else about the 20 years? During that time, Rebekah will die. He will never see his mother again. When she sends him away here, he will never get to see his mother again. Her favorite son. And imagine the pain that caused her and the pain that caused him. And all this because we tried to cheat. We tried to work it out. We tried to really get this thing together. Rebekah's life had to be a difficult life. Why? From now until the time she dies. Why? Well, because her husband's mad at her. Why wouldn't he be? You helped him. You put goatskins on his arm. What kind of wife are you? That's weird. I'm mad at you. Not only that, but do you think Esau was a little happy with his mama? He was probably upset with her too, wouldn't you think? You helped my brother to take that away from me. You're supposed to be my mother. You love him better. I don't even know if one of you. Can you imagine the next 20 years? Of course, she'll die. But can you imagine the pain and the sorrow she has just inflicted on herself? Of course, we aren't told much about it. And so it's like, well, it's really not there. But can you imagine the heartache that she's brought on herself for the rest of her life till she dies? With no way out of this now. But look how she explains it to Isaac. She's good. You got to get out of here, son. You got to get out of here now or they'll kill you. So she goes to Isaac and she doesn't say, Esau is going to kill Jacob and we got to get him out of here or calm Esau. No, here's what she says. Esau's wives are killing me. These women are killing me. They've brought these false idols. I can't deal with it. You know, Isaac, and you know when your wife comes to you and she's like that, what are you going to try to do? Okay, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, whatever it takes. You know, these women are nuts. Now, you know, if my youngest, if Jacob marries one of those, I think it would kill me. I just don't think I could handle it. So Isaac goes, oh, woman, it's okay. I got an idea. We'll send him away. We'll send him to your brother. And, of course, Rebekah goes, Isaac, you're so smart. What a man of God. The best thing to do is send Jacob away. Once again, trickery and deceit are used to keep Jacob alive. By lies, she tries to fix the situation. It will cause her pain the rest of her life. It will cause Esau pain. It will cause Jacob heartache and pain. It will cause Isaac heartache and pain. It's never going to bring any good. Not for me, not for you. When we go against God's word, because our own desires, our own physical wants, our own emotional wants, it will never do us any good. If we take God's word and say, this is what God's word says, and I'm going to make it be. It is wise to just let go and let God do what he's going to do. Walk with him, trust him, obey, listen, follow. And God will do the very things that he promised. Watch when Jacob finally gives up and lets God take his life. Watch the blessings just pour. And it's the same with you and I. Let's bow our heads together.